read the text for us. Acts chapter 8. An Ethiopian statesman under the rulership of the queen.
Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26 through 39. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, and an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing, kind and loving and gracious. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've enjoyed together thus far. And I pray, dear Lord, now that you will just anoint us to receive your word this morning as it's brought forth, Heavenly Father. Anoint us with your revelating spirit, dear Lord, that it might be transformed from its written and read form, Lord, and from its spoken and preached form, that it might be transformed by your precious revelating spirit to your word made real and made alive in our hearts, dear Lord, that we might demonstrate it in our lives, so that when we go forth from this place, Heavenly Father, that others might look upon us and see something different in us, dear Lord, that they desire to have also, and that difference being you, dear Lord, and your word applied and made real and alive in our lives, Heavenly Father. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would just bless this time with, bless us with your anointing this morning to receive, dear Lord, that our hearts might be prepared, and bless our pastor, Heavenly Father, once again this morning, afresh and anew with your anointing, dear Lord, that he might proclaim your word in power and in truth and with all the authority that you've invested in him through your blessed Holy Spirit within. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, before you're seated, shake hands with someone. Thank you, Petey. Little ones can be dismissed to go to junior church. I didn't forget anointing. I'm going to do that at the end of the service. How many of you ever went on a trip and went one way and came home a different way? Huh? I recently did that and wished I would have came home a different way. Well, in the scripture, there's different places in the scripture that says that they did the same thing. They came and went home a different way. Now you could take that as a geographical reference, but I'd rather take it as a spiritual one. You think about that. That's how I looked at it. They went home a different way. Well, geographically, sometimes we do that, but spiritually, that's what I'd like for each and every one of you, to go home a different way than you came. Maybe you came depressed. Maybe you came this morning wondering that there got to be much more to life than this. Maybe you feel like your life is in limbo. Are you happy with what you've achieved in your life so far? Do you think you're living your life to its fullest potential? You think you're utilizing your life as much as you think it should be utilized? Sometimes you might feel like somebody's just simply using you instead of being utilized. The best way to make sure that you're living your life to the fullest is to make sure that you seek Jesus Christ first and His kingdom. And all the other things will be added on to your life. And when the sooner you realize that and see that, the more you'll see your life begin to blossom like a rose. You'll see meaning in your life. Irregardless of what you might have been told, you were a mistake or an accident. Well, I can tell you this. There is nothing like a mistake or an accident with God. I can tell you, you was not a mistake, and you certainly wasn't an accident, because God knows everything. He doesn't miss anything. Have you ever wondered why some people are able to get victorious over certain things in their life, and it seems like others just kind of struggle? They just sort of struggle through life. They struggle with addictions. They struggle with habits that they'd like to break. And yet it seems like other ones, just like a gift, bang, and it's gone. Huh? Have you ever seen anybody like that? I have. I've noticed that. I've noticed that some people just seem to have victory over it, and other ones just struggle. What makes a difference? Why is that? I think there's certain qualifications you got to meet in order for the Holy Spirit to be released in your life. And I'm going to talk about three qualifications today. It's really not a 4th of July message. I normally like to stick with what holiday we're celebrating. But it wasn't up to me. If it were up to me, I'd have a 4th of July message. But it was up to the Lord. The Lord said, not today. Not today, Roger. I want you to share this message. But not a 4th of July message. Not today, Roger. So why is that? What releases the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? What is it? I think there's three conditions, three qualifications that are necessary, absolutely necessary, before the power of the Holy Spirit can be released in our lives. And I got all three of them from Acts chapter 8. The first condition is you need to have a heart that's set wholly upon the Lord. That's the first condition. Is your heart set wholly upon the Lord? Do you have other loves that crowd out the things for the Lord? It's not hard sometimes to have other loves. And they're always in competition to that one love that we all need to have, is a love for the Lord, a love for the things of the Lord, I remember as I was growing up, I'd always had this fear that Jesus was going to come back before I'd get a chance to get married. Wow. Did life go through fast? Here I am, my hair changed colors, and been 44 years married. But Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. Sooner than you think. Is your heart set wholly on the Lord? In Acts chapter 8, there was a man who had qualified in all three of these. He was an Ethiopian statesman. He was returning home from a religious gathering in Jerusalem. And when we first read, if you're still there, when we first read about him, he's riding along in the desert. He's in the back of a chariot. I don't know how big this chariot is, but obviously he has a driver that's taking care of the horse. And this chariot must be big enough that he's sitting in the back of the chariot. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. Wow, what a job. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. You know what chapter? 53. In fact, the very verses he was reading when Philip joined him was verse 7 and 8. Was the verses that he was reading. He was led to the slaughter. And forth, Philip's going to explain to him what that was all about. He obviously was a man that was devoted to God's word. He was a student of the word. This wasn't the first time he was studying. But yet he was spiritually blind. He hungered for the truth, but he was spiritually blind. And as he was reading chapter 53 of the prophet Isaiah, he was desperate to know what the prophet was saying. How can I be sure? Well, because he was already studying God's word. He was reading it. He was studying it. He had a desire for it. He was searching. He was probing. He was seeking after the Lamb of life. What are you seeking today? What has your heart? Where is your heart today? Where your heart is, so will be your treasure. Where your treasure is, so will be your heart. What is your treasure today? What captivates your attention? What would you rather be doing than anything else in the world? Rather be doing something other than being with Jesus, being in God's presence this morning? You need to want that more than anything else if you want the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Are you listening to me? You need to desire to have that more than anything else. That's your first priority. First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what this Ethiopian unit was. He was studying. What are you searching for in your walk with the Lord? Are you looking for some kind of an experience? Are you seeking something in this world? I can tell you the world's not going to give it to you. Have you been watching people and things in the world? Did you think that if you just had a whole lot of money, you'd be happy? You could buy anything you want. Wouldn't perhaps want for anything, but would you be happy? How many of you ever heard of Elvis Presley? Do you think he was happy? Why did he take all the drugs he was taking if he was happy? Maybe if I be the queen of England, even, then I'd be happy. It didn't do much for her. She wasn't happy. Paparazzi followed her wherever she went. She wasn't happy. She wasn't satisfied. Only Jesus can satisfy you. Only He can feel the longing in your heart. He knows, and He can feel it for you. Young and old alike, who are you seeking? Listen to what David said. Direct my steps by your word in Psalms 119, 133. My heart stands in awe of your word. Verse 161. You have magnified your word above all your name. Verse chapter 138 and verse 2. You can't stand in awe of God's word or have your steps ordered by Him unless you begin to open up God's word, the Bible. It's why so many Christians today are still bound by sin. They're unable to get freedom. Freedom. That's one word that really fits this day. Freedom. It's what this day's about. But this is spiritual freedom. Far more important than the freedom that we enjoy in America. This is spiritual freedom. They have very little knowledge of God's word. In many churches today, people just merely endure the preaching of the word. They don't want to hear any strong doctrine. They prefer wonders and miracles and excitement and entertainment. But they know nothing about the true power of God. They don't know the scriptures. Jesus said to the Sadducees in Matthew 22, 29, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." See how that fits? They didn't know the scriptures, and because they didn't know the scriptures, they didn't know the power of God. The author of Hebrews describes the power of God this way. He says it rests in God's words, "For the word of God is living and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the joints and marrow of the bone, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Hebrews 4:12, you see, this is the true power, the word of God that is able to discern your very heart. And then we have the second condition. Desire to obey God in every area. Desire to obey God in every area. The Ethiopian, we can see it was very clear in the example of his life. He was still blind to spiritual things because he didn't yet have the revelation of Jesus. But then we see things begin to change. He got God's attention. God was excited about this man, happy for this man. God was searching the earth for a heart that was open to him, and his eyes fell upon this one in the desert. He saw him diligently studying the scriptures. He saw he was hungry to know more about him. He was prepared to obey his word. And so the Lord responded. You want the Lord to respond? Make sure these conditions are in your life. Be a student of his word. Study his word. Have a desire for his word more than silver and gold. Does that sound familiar? Desire his word more than silver or gold. And then be willing to obey. Be willing to obey and do something about it. And you see, God's attention was drawn. And so the Lord quickly responded. We're told an angel appeared to Philip. Now, Philip was in Jerusalem. He was there in a revival in Samaria. And the angel said, Philip, you need to go to the desert. Acts verse 29, chapter 8, if you're there. The Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this particular chariot. Were there other chariots? Yes, there were. But this was a special one. Because in this chariot, there was a man studying God's word. He had a desire, a sincere desire for God. And the angel said, Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. And Philip set out for the desert. And when the chariot came by, the Holy Ghost said, get in. Get in, Philip. Philip climbed in, and immediately he asked the Ethiopian, do you understand what you're reading? And the statesman said, how can I understand unless somebody would show me the meaning? Oh, I can show you, Philip said. And then he began to preach Jesus. Oh. Then he began to talk about Jesus. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he told the statesman that Jesus was a lamb that was led to the slaughter. He was the lamb that he was reading about. He was led as sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shear. So he opened he not his mouth. Philip says this was Jesus of Nazareth, the one they crucified and hung on the tree. It was he that you're reading about in Isaiah the prophet. It was he. It was Jesus whom they crucified and buried, but he rose again. And all who are willing to confess their sins and believe in him and are baptized will be saved from their sin, and they'll be given everlasting life. The eunuch said, you're telling me that Jesus was the Lamb, and if I believe in him and obey him, and I am baptized, that I'll be saved? Philip said, yes. Whoa. The eunuch's looking, and he said, whoa. He said, here's water. Here's water. What would hinder me to be baptized? What's hindering you to be baptized would be a better question to ask. What hinders you from being baptized? Have you been baptized? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been baptized? Philip, look, there's water. What hinders me from obeying his word? The eunuch was actually saying, Brother Philip, show me. Show me anything that would hinder me from obeying God. Expose anything and everything in my life. I want freedom from my sin and from my bondage. I want all that the Lord has for me. I want nothing to hold me back from doing what he commands. And this is exactly the condition that God is looking for. It's what qualifies us for the release of the Holy Ghost's power, a readiness to obey the Lord right now. No putting off. No waiting for a better time. No half-hearted commitment. This is a kind of attitude that is summed up in the words of the Ethiopian. Lord, I want to obey you now. I want freedom now, to enjoy victory now. I don't want to go through another day bound by sin. Remove all the hindrances, Lord. I want to walk in your resurrection power. And then that brings me to the third condition. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. Here is water. Here is water, Philip. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him, verse 38. Philip gladly complied with the Ethiopian's request to baptize him. And as soon as the two men came out of the water, Philip suddenly vanished. The Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. Verse 39, what was he doing? Rejoicing. He was rejoicing. Why? He didn't need to live in condemnation no more. He didn't need to live with the guilt of the mistakes he's made in his life, the bad choices he had made in his life. He don't need to live with them anymore. And neither do you. Neither do you. All you got to do is ask him to forgive you. Repent. Forgive me, Lord. That's what the eunuch said. Forgive me. Forgive me. And I want to be baptized. Let's take care of that right now. They're in a desert. No one else is in sight. They walk out of the water and suddenly one of them disappears. And that's all the scripture has to say about it. The Ethiopian went his way rejoicing. That's it. That's it, because that was the work of the Holy Spirit. It's what the Bible wanted to show us. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. It was a hungry and a seeking man. God wanted to show us how he miraculously releases his Spirit's power when he finds the kind of a heart that he found in the heart of this Ethiopian. The Holy Spirit knows your heart. He knows you want to be delivered. He knows you want to obey him. But you simply need to believe him. He will give you direction in your life if you'll faithfully act on his instructions. One day, as the songwriter said, at a time, one day at a time, he'll continue to lead you. And I can assure you, on the authority of the scriptures, if you'll set your heart to search and to study God's word, and if you're ready to obey his every command, the moment it comes, his Spirit will give you that clear direction for your life. When the enemy's army comes to you like a flood, when it appears you're going to be swept away by demonic powers, you can trust in God Almighty to tell you exactly what to do, because he knows every step ahead of you, and he will not let you down. Well, the Holy Ghost is ready to talk to you in his still, small voice, and you don't have to live in depression any longer. You don't have to run from revival to revival looking for deliverance and crying the same tears year after year. The Holy Ghost has a word for you. You don't need a pastor or a counselor or a teacher or a psychologist to deliver you. You only need the Holy Ghost. He doesn't give instructions for tomorrow, just for today. Did you catch that? Just for today. Tomorrow is in his hands. We have only today is the day of salvation. He'll speak again to you tomorrow. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Isaiah 30 and 21. So would you get ready to hear the voice of God's Spirit? Speak your word of deliverance.